False teachers have twisted worship into a flesh-driven experience. People go in there and their flesh is tantalized by the great music or whatever it is. They love the music. They love it. They go for that reason, for the flesh, rather than the Spirit of God illuminating the truth of God that will respond.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we finish our look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
Yes, we will, Dave. And today we're going to see the characteristics of a true believer, which will expose the false or make-believer. And I want to ask the question, which one are you? Well, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Paul tells Timothy, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus. Are you a pastor, overseer? Are you concerned? Are you willing to be a good servant and warn the brethren? For everyone else, are you willing to hear and accept and heed the warnings from the Word of God, from your leaders? They're watching over your souls. So then, how do we keep from being ensnared by false brethren and their teaching? First of all, have the right attitude or you're vulnerable. Your focus isn't on Jesus and what he's done for you, which will bring joy. You're going to be vulnerable. Secondly, we need to heed the warnings. And third, we're to actually look out for them. We're to actually watch out for them. We're to be aware. Look at verse 2. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. He gives three bewares. They're all imperative commands. Paul shares here. The word blepete means to constantly be observing with a point of avoiding. You say beware, that means look out, but that's so you can avoid it. You say beware of that pothole over there. There's a lot of potholes on the road over there. Beware of that. Well, you're going to be looking so that you don't go in the pothole, right? And he says it three times here. Constantly be in view with a view of avoiding. Well, what are we to avoid? Notice, first of all, he gives three things. First of all, he says the dogs. What does he mean by dogs here? Well, there's two related words for dogs. One spoke of a little household pet, a little puppy. We know those dogs. And then there's another that spoke of the mangy, vicious, rabid dogs that roamed around. We know about dogs. Have you ever seen a mean dog? It's not a nice little puppy, right? Not at all. He's talking about not the little nice puppies, but the mean dogs, the flea-bitten, ravenous scavengers that go out and just take advantage of whatever they can find. So with that, these vicious, rabid scavengers roaming the streets, he says, beware of them. Now, he also, I believe, uses this as a way to expose the bad guys, because the bad guys would call Gentiles dogs. He's saying, hey, these Jews, they're the dogs. They're the dogs. How ironic. They're dangerous. We're to be looking out for them. And this is where we kind of get off and we kind of miss it, because these guys disguise themselves. We got to look out for how they disguise themselves. We got to look at them and beware of them in light of what God says about them. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. They look like believers. That's where we get thrown off. They talk about Jesus. They come to you in sheep's clothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, for such men are false apostles, verse 13, deceitful workers, disguising themselves. They actually disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. And even no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan claims to be an angel of light. He disguises himself as that. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end should be according to their deeds. We saw in Jude 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. We see in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. False teachers disguise themselves as true believers, and I hear this a lot. They're such a nice guy and they love Jesus so much. But look at the fruit. Jesus said, look at the fruit. In the New Testament, we have continual warnings. As we saw in Matthew 17, beware the false prophets from the Lord Jesus. Paul warned the Ephesian elders. I read this earlier in Acts 20. He warns in Romans 16, Galatians 1, Galatians 3, 2 Corinthians 11, Philippians 3, Colossians 2, Titus 1, 1 and 2 Timothy, and 2 Peter chapters 2 and 3, and Jude. A lot of warnings. We're continually warned. And we know that God does allow them. Deuteronomy makes it clear he allows them to see if we love him. It's a test of where our heart is at the time. It shows us where our faith is at. So then, there are those, along with God's true voice, sharing the word of God rightly, and there are those who falsely and deceptively proclaim and twist it or omit it. And we are to be constantly looking with the intent of avoiding. So he says, beware the dogs. And then notice he says, beware the evil workers, literally workers of evil. You see, Paul calls it like it is. What they do is evil. It is evil, no matter what the motive is, no matter how nice they are, it is evil to add works to a relationship with Jesus. It is evil to twist the gospel. It is evil to omit, to twist, or lessen God's word. It is evil to subjugate his word to experience. It is evil to mess with any process of salvation, whether it's justification or sanctification. And folks, we can fall into that at times. We can think man's way. We can get caught up in the elementary principles of man. And Jesus will share what that's about. When Peter was talking from man's point of view, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Matthew 16. You're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. There are a lot of churches that set their minds on man's interest. That's the setting your mind on man's interest church. We see that. And Paul says they're evil workers. Now, we need to remember, people in there, many are being held captive. Jude talks about having mercy on some, pulling them out of the fire. You know, we need to be careful with our hatred for false teaching. We can lash out at people caught up in it. We need to be gracious and share the truth that they might be set free. We need to be careful. So they're evil. They're evil workers. People who tell people to keep the Sabbath in light of New Testament understanding, they're evil workers. People who say you must be baptized to be saved, those are evil workers. People who say you must receive grace through the sacraments rather than through a relationship with Jesus Christ who is at the right hand of the Father, they are evil workers. They are evil workers who prophesy, cast out demons, and perform many miracles apart from Jesus. He didn't know them. Depart from me, I never knew you. They're doing all kinds of work for Jesus, so much so that when they get before him, they say, didn't we do all this stuff for you, Jesus? All this ministry? Depart from me, I never knew you. They're evil workers who say, just try or add Jesus and see how it works out. Rather than God is declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent. There's evil workers who starve the flock, adding man's wisdom by feeding them stories and topics rather than the word of God. Whatever their motives might appear to be, they're evil workers. So then they're dangerous dogs, workers of evil. And then notice what he says back in our passage. He says, beware of the false circumcision. Now, he uses a wordplay on the term circumcision, peritome, that's the term circumcision, and he uses it, he says, katatome, which means strictly cutting in or chopping up meat. He's saying, beware of the mutilators. These false teachers mutilated their followers. You say, how so? Well, the physical is obvious, unneeded circumcision. So you've got to follow the law in this way to follow Jesus. But they also mutilated spiritually. They were false. The specific example speaks of circumcision. They missed the original intent completely, trusting in the symbol rather than the reality, trusting in the shadow rather than the reality. And that's what false teachers do. They trust in the shadows rather than the realities. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant. It was an outward symbol of a covenant relationship with God, an inward relationship by faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, talks about the Lord God will circumcise your heart. They had to have changed hearts. The circumcision was an outward symbol of what had should have happened internally with a real relationship with the Lord. The Apostle Paul talks about how the outward symbol always related to an inward reality in Romans chapter 2. He says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly simply by circumcision. That's what he's saying. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one, or you could say true Jew there, who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit. He's one that evidenced the reality of the symbolism in the Old Testament, having a heart where the flesh was taken away. They were saved through Jesus Christ. So the Judaizers mutilate the spiritual reality. They mutilate it. The symbol, they say, saves and sanctifies rather than the reality behind the symbol, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. One pastor writes, the mere externalists, including legalists and ritualists of all descriptions, always make more of the ordinances and outer forms than the condition of the soul and the spiritual truth symbolized by those ordinances. We see this throughout. Beware, beware. Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 1:6, I'm amazed you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel. Saying, if anyone brings it, even us, or an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. So we are to beware, beware, beware. We're not even to give these people a greeting if they don't bring the teaching. 2 John. Let me read that. 2 John, verse 8. He says, watch, or beware, the same word. Watch yourselves that you may not lose what we've accomplished. That was the word being working in them, growing closer to Christ, a relationship with him. But that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Anyone who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him in your house. Do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds of false teachers, through radio, through books, TV. If you're not sure, bring it to a mature believer. Bring it to an elder. They're charged to watch over your souls. We've been warned. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. And some of it is packaged to manipulate you, whether it's emotionalism, whether it's reason, whatever it might be, whether it's getting along with people, whatever it is. How can we keep from being ensnared by false teachers and teaching? We need to be rejoiced in the Lord. Secondly, we need to heed the warnings. And third, we need to diligently watch out for them. You gotta have your eyes open. And lastly, we need to know the marks of a true believer, and this is really related to the false teachers who are not true believers. And you should look at the teachers. They should relay these characteristics of a true believer. But it also applies to us to see what a true believer looks like. He says in verse 3, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. He begins with the word for. He's explaining, in contrast to the false believer, what a true believer looks like. And we have the marks of a true believer. And now, who is the we? I believe he's certainly speaking of Timothy himself, Epaphroditus, possibly the saints at Philippi. It certainly will apply to all believers, but I think in contrast to the false teachers, he's really focusing on the teachers themselves. He says, we are. And then he gives three participles to describe what it looks like. First of all, we'll see the true believer worships in the Spirit of God. Or literally, better translated, worships by the Spirit of God. True believers, present tense, continually, habitually worship by means of the Spirit of God. True believers worship by means of the Spirit, which implies it is not by the flesh, in contrast. John chapter 4, you might remember the Lord Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. He says in verse 23, behold, an hour is coming, and now is, and we're in that hour, where true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. No true worship takes place apart from the Spirit of God and apart from his truth. There's all kinds of things called worship out there. There's all kinds of worship songs and worship ministries, but much of those focus on us rather than him. Now, I can listen to a Christian song that I enjoy, but I recognize this isn't worshiping God. It's not bad. But it's about my relationship with him, and I enjoy that. Praise the Lord. It's not worship. Worship is the focus is on him, as we'll see. You see, we've so compartmentalized worship. We have worship time, worship leader, worship seminars, worship band, worship songs. But is it music that constitutes worship? You might remember how those in the boat after Jesus walked on the water and calmed the sea, how they worshiped him. It wasn't after the sea was calm and Jesus got in the boat, they got all their instruments out, And the guy stepped up and said, let's turn down the lights and darken everything. It wasn't like that at all. They worshiped the Lord, says, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. That's worship. I was so disappointed to look at a church I had attended 25 years ago. They've gone that way. The 30-minute sermons and the dark time during worship. It's not going to be dark worshiping in heaven. It's going to be very bright, I think. Just the world's ways snuck into churches. Revelation chapter 7, and the angels were standing around the throne, verse 11, the elders of the 24 living creatures, they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. That's worship. Real worship takes place when the Spirit of God reveals the things of Christ and we respond in the context of truth. False teachers have twisted worship into a flesh-driven experience. People go in there and their flesh is tantalized by the great music or whatever it is. They love the music. They love it. They go for that reason, for the flesh, rather than the Spirit of God illuminating the truth of God that we would respond and give God glory. Really clear. Paul would say that no man should boast before God. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. The Lord is the one who should be exalted. Jesus said concerning the Spirit, he shall glorify me. The Spirit of God will glorify Christ. That's how you can know. For he shall take of mine until to close it to you. The Spirit of God reveals the truth of Jesus and causes us to praise him. So when it comes to worship and ministry, watch who gets the glory. Watch who gets the focus. Spirit reveals and glorifies Christ. I challenge you to rethink your view of worship. True believers worship in the Spirit of God. Well, notice they do something else. Second thing. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. The leaders are going to worship for that, so the people that are true. And secondly, and glory in Christ Jesus. I mentioned this earlier. Now, this interesting, this term glory is not the term doxa, which is usually translated glory. It's actually kakuomai, which means boast. True believers worship in the Spirit of God, and they boast in Christ Jesus. They boast in him. I mentioned this earlier, but let him who boasts boast in the Lord. And God nullified everything through the gospel that men would not boast. And by who he chose, the weak and foolish things, that men would not boast. We got people boasting all the time in ministry and at churches. Their names are huge, or whatever it might be. Or what they're doing is the focus rather than Jesus. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. He says here, who boasts in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, nor the mighty man boast in his might. Let not a rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. False guys boast in their achievements or their ministries. I see these things. We save so many. You saved? God saved. You didn't save anybody. We are just vessels. Paul said, we're nothing. God caused the growth. I planted, Apollos water, but God caused the growth. Therefore, he who plants water are nothing but God. On a side note, who do you boast in your life? At your job, your abilities, your talents? Do you give glory to yourself or do you give glory to God? Give to Christ. You thank him for what he's done. You thank him how he helps you. Do you thank him for the skills and talents he's given you? True believers boast in Christ. Lastly, Paul says in his threefold description of true believers, he says, and put no confidence in the flesh. It's interesting because the first ones is they continually, habitually worship the Spirit of God, continually, habitually boast in Christ Jesus. And the last one is a perfect tense. It's basically translated this way. And have put no confidence in the flesh and continued not to do so. And in the flesh, having no confidence. What does that mean? We're the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. You see, we began with no confidence. You didn't get saved with any confidence in yourself. You had zero confidence. You didn't call out in Jesus and think, well, I'm good enough to work with you, Jesus. You had no confidence. Zero. You trusted in him completely for salvation or you were not saved. As you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. We put no confidence in the flesh. These are talking about the ministers, but also we're tempted to. But those ministers who are out there, they should put no confidence. If they're real believers, no confidence in the flesh. Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Trusting in man's ways, man's principles, marketing, whatever it might be to do ministry. Trusting in those things rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in the ways of man to minister. True believers put no confidence in the flesh. They trust Jesus. Paul said, not that we're adequate to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. I can't do it, but Jesus will do it through me because he's powerful. He's good. He's promised that he will. He's promised to help me. He'll do it. It's the Lord Jesus. You see, it's all about whether Jesus gets the glory, whether Jesus is being trusted or not. And if you're a true believer, these things will ring true with you. So where do you stand today? When you go through your daily tasks, do you trust in the Lord or do you rely on yourself? You fall back into ways that you were before you were saved. As I mentioned, when you came to faith, you had zero confidence in the flesh. And that's how we're to walk. True believers walk that way. We trust Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust Jesus. Paul sharing his testimony to the Corinthians who were being bamboozled by false teachers, by the way, they're believers. But they had listened to the voice of those people. They didn't beware. He says, when I came to you, I didn't come with superior speech or wisdom proclaiming the testimony of God, but I determined to know nothing among you but Christ Jesus and him crucified. Our current churches are flesh-driven. They're charismatic, evangelical, lots of Reformed. I'm hitting Reformed. It's a lot of bad stuff out there, folks. It's a lot of false teaching. And it plays to your emotions. It plays to your reason. It plays to you. It makes you prideful. Marketing, polling, felt needs. Does that aggrieve you? So then we have a definition of true believers and how to spot the false in light of that. True believers worship in the Spirit of God. It's not the flesh. It's not a big giant rock concert, worship service, where your flesh is tantalized. They boast in Jesus Christ. Christ gets all the glory. And they put no confidence in man, in themselves, or anyone else. What a sorry sight to see so many churches go the opposite way. But we've been warned. And we've been warned personally. And therefore, we need to beware. It's a safeguard for us. And the reminding is of no trouble for Paul to do so. So then we live in dangerous times, and I can't tell you it's not going to happen here. It probably will. People are going to creep in. People are going to come from without, and we need to be able to spot it. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And it's so subtle. It's persuasive arguments. So subtle. Don't get kidnapped. Stand firm in Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, Paul has given us a definition of a true believer so that we can spot those who are false and beware.
And as we've seen, Dave, true believers worship in the Spirit of God, boast in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, in contrast to false teachers and false brethren, they worship in the flesh, boast in the flesh, and put confidence in the flesh. So let me ask you this, which one are you? Friend, do the marks of a true believer fit you? If not, God is so gracious, and he beckons you to repent and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation before it's too late. Would you call upon Jesus now? We pray you do.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.